not just been born, but had he lived today, 2014, had he had lived for what he was living for and still living for then, had he had died for what he was dying for then, how would Jesus have been accepted in today's time? And I want you to, you know, put this in your mind. Jesus was killed for a reason, but he would have been killed for the opposite reason had he been living today. And I want you to think about that as we go forward and we look at things that we're going to look at in the scriptures. There in the first century, Israel, he was rejected, he was despised, and he was hated, and he was murdered. For what reason? Because he was not religious enough. Because he was not religious enough. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law at that time, by their standards, he was not holy enough, if he was holy at all. He was not righteous enough, if he was righteous at all. He was not demanding enough. He was not legalistic enough. He was not condemning enough. He was not tolerable. And they said that maybe sometimes he was intolerant or wasn't intolerant enough. He was not judgmental enough. He was not separatistic enough. And basically, Jesus, to the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders of his day, he was subpar to their religion at the time. They come to him and they look and say, well, why are you doing this? Why are you healing a man's hand on the Sabbath? Why are you picking wheat to eat on the Sabbath? You know, why are you doing all of these things and saying that you are God? And that goes against our religion and what we're standing for. And they got mad at him. And there was something else. And if you turn to Luke chapter 7, 34 through 35, and it's on the screen there, there was a charge that was brought against Christ. And it says in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. They brought a, and go back to verse 34, James, and leave it right there for a minute. You see there at the bottom of that screen, they charged Jesus. One of the main things that were the charges that were brought against Jesus Christ was that he was a friend of sinners. Woo! What an awful thing. You know, terrible. Then they were mad at Jesus about this. And why were they mad at Jesus? Why did they bring such a charge? If you'll turn to Luke chapter 5, 27 through 32. Let's read something about it. Why would they bring such a charge against Jesus? Starting in verse 27, it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Now, pay attention to these next two verses. Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You can look at Matthew chapter 9 through 13, and Mark 2, 13 through 17, and see the same exact story. And Jesus is saying, and I think it's in Matthew's gospel, that the people that are healthy, they're not the ones that need a doctor. It's the sick people. And so here you had, over and over and over throughout Jesus's ministry, you had the religious people that were so angry at Jesus and other people that were of the Judaism and of that religion that were looking at what Jesus was going and doing, and they were mad at him because he was not up to their standards. He wasn't doing the things that they considered to be religious. Thank God. Thank God that he wasn't religious enough for them. And I want to tell you something today. This is a powerful statement. Religion will send you straight to hell. Okay? religion will send you to hell. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. Because see, religion is a lot of times man-made rules that say you ought to do this or you ought to do that, or it's a distortion of what God has given us by way of rules and regulations, and we have twisted that for man's own purpose. You see throughout the scriptures where Jesus was going up and doing all of these things for people, and they were mad at him about it. The same things we praise Jesus for today. And so he was killed, he was put on a cross for being a friend of sinners. And we praise him for that. And if you look back at these verses that we just read in Luke chapter 5, one of the first mistakes that he made right here in verse 27, it says that after this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. And the next words he said, "Follow me," Jesus said to him. You mean to tell me that this man who has proclaimed himself to be in the Son of God, being a rabbi, a great teacher, and he is calling to come and be a part of his disciples, his core group of people, his inner circle that I've talked about before, that first concentric circle, he is called a tax collector? Now, see, we don't too much like the IRS today, do we? If you do, something's bad with you. But let me just tell you, if you multiply the greed and malice and all of that that the IRS may do today, multiply that by 100 times almost what these people in Israel were doing. If you went up there, they were, if it was one shekel, let's say, they were charging you just astronomical stuff and nobody could do anything about it. They were charging that, and so you had people that were starving because you go into the line and you barely had enough grain to feed your families, but yet you had to give in taxes to these people working for the Romans now and that government, but these were your neighbors. These were fellow Jews. These were not just people working for necessarily the government. This was people that maybe sat beside you in synagogue, if they could ever go. And that they were sitting there gouging your pockets, and they were living like kings and queens. They were some of the most hated people of that time. Yet Jesus was calling one of them to be his disciple. And then when you look through there, Jesus said, "No, that's not enough. Let's go to his house and have supper." And you go to somebody's house and you eat dinner with them, you sup with them. I mean, you're taking part in them. You know, the same thing would happen today. Well, what are you doing going over there to eat with all them people? That's a sign of you being in cahoots almost with these folks. And so when he's there and there's a great banquet that they're throwing there for Jesus, all the sinners and the tax collectors are throwing Jesus a party. Now, picture this now. They're throwing Jesus a party, but the church, the religious people are going, "Something's wrong with this picture." Something is wrong with this picture. You've got it. Jesus is at the nightclub almost, what it seems like in our day, and all the pastors and church people in our suits are going, "What are you doing, sir? You've fallen. You are not who we said you were." And you go down, and then verse 30, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat with these people? Why are you out here doing this? Preacher, why are you associating with these people of low stature?'" Do you think that the Pharisees, as they died off in this, that this is not a spirit that is in the church today? I think it's very much a part of the church today. We look sometimes and we ask these same questions like the Pharisees. Why do we associate with sinners and tax collectors and these types of people? We're supposed to be set apart. We are not of the world. We're just in the world for a moment. Now, there is something to be said about that. But Jesus, you understand, did not gouge people by taxes, and he did not sin. Do you understand that this morning? He associated with these people for what purpose? To help them, to save them, to redeem them, not to be a part of them. And so when, if you use this passage of Scripture and say, oh, well, Jesus ate with these people, so I'm just going to go too, and I'm going to run along with them. No. What purpose? Are you doing it because you enjoy that style of living? Because I can tell you, he detested everything that they stood for. Everything that they stood for. And Jesus always was seeking out these types of things and these types of people. If you turn to Luke chapter 5, we're in chapter 5, you go to verse 12 through 16. Give you another thing that made heads turn. In Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, it says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourselves to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I want you to look at this here again. You had, as a part of the Judaism and a part of the law, that if someone had leprosy, they were unclean. And for you to have touched them would have made you ceremonially unclean. It was a no-no. These people were ostracized to the outer parts of the city. You would see them at the city gate. They didn't even come around, folks. And when they come close, people would run away from them and chase them as these leprosy people could chase them, and people would just run. You didn't want to be touched by these folks. But no, I'm serious. they were the big ones out at Halloween time in Israel. And people would run from them. And you didn't want to be touched. But listen here. In our time, we have people that are sick. We have people with Ebola right now in West Africa that people are running from. People are running from there, and you get somebody sick and you run. And you say, oh, I don't want to catch that, so I'm running this way. And they have a sniffle or whatever, and you run. We run from the people that are hurting the most in our society. And here you have Jesus Christ who looks at this man, and this man comes and he falls at his face in front of the Messiah. And he listen at what the man says right here in verse 12. He says, Lord, at the end of that, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And look at Jesus' response in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now I'm asking you this morning, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who comes running into situations, goes right into the middle of the most nastiest place you could possibly picture somebody to be in, with sinners and tax collectors, will go up and touch someone with leprosy to heal them, then why do we stand back out afar from all of these folks? Why do we in the church run from these people? Aren't we acting a whole lot more like the Pharisees and Sadducees than we are acting like Christ? I want you to look at Jesus, because when I look at him, even though it was against the known rules to touch this man, Jesus was saying, I'm willing. He knew it was against the rules and regulations of the religious authority to do this, but he went the other way. And you had all of these people that railed against Jesus Christ and said, look, he's healing, as I said earlier, this man on the Sabbath inside of the synagogue. The man had the hand that was all messed up, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And the religious people stood up and said, what do you mean we're having a healing in the church? Not on Sunday. God don't do any work on it's the Sabbath or Saturday. But, God doesn't do any work like that on the Sabbath. You can't heal. Crazy. crazy. They're out on the, you know these stories. They're out and they picked them something to eat. And they said, what are you doing? Picking food? Don't you realize it's the Sabbath? And, you know, Jesus always responded so well to this. And y'all want it. Y'all want Jesus to be one of these ones that says, sit down and let me to explain to you why. No, Jesus turned around and looked at them and said, hey, you know, when your oxen is out there in the ditch, don't you pull it out, Jack? Yeah. Yeah. You pull it out and you get him because you're not crazy and neither I'm hungry and we're going to get something to eat. And that's what he said. I mean, that's the way Jesus dealt with these Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders. He confronted them head on with not all of this foo-foo religious talk and all of this kind of stuff. And he quoted out the scriptures. And when he did it, he quoted the scriptures in a very pointed way. And he looked at these Sadducees and remembering Pharisees and he said, you brood of vipers. Watch out now. He did not just toy around with this because he realized that this religious stuff was killing the cause that he was coming here for. And see, the scandal that Jesus was a part of right here is the scandal of grace. And he was charged with that. And Jesus Christ was taken and put on a cross because he bestowed upon people grace and mercy. Now I'm telling you something. If you want to sit here and think about things that you're going through in your life and how it is just so awful that somebody has done you this way or done you another way because of something that you've done and you did not, you used these words or I used these words, I didn't deserve that. Now take a look at what Jesus Christ did not deserve. As he is out here with all of these people running into, where would Jesus be right now? If he were on the earth, where would he be right now in the center of everything? West Africa. He would be signing up to go right there to fight Ebola right where it was. Where would he be? He would be not every time you turn around sitting in the church where there are more righteous and more saved people than anything else. He would be in the world, in the streets, in the highways and byways like he was when he was on this planet in bodily form. You search out your Bible and you calculate to me the percentage of time that Jesus spent in the synagogue versus the percentage of time that Jesus spent on the street ministering. And you will come up with the formula that we are supposed to be in and the things that we're supposed to be doing, meeting needs on the ground where they are. And I'm telling you this, not just because we have Operation Christmas Child and we have all these things coming up, but there are physical needs of people. And I'm asking you, as a church, as United Community Church, I'm not talking about, you know, Ingleside or Pine Forest and these churches around. I'm talking about you right here. How are we going to be when Christ is looking at us right now? Will he look at us, if he had to write a letter to our church like he did to the churches in Revelation, if he had to write one, would he find us to be faithful, to be acting like he is? And I'm telling you, if we're not involved in missions, if we're not involved in outside of the four walls of this church, meeting actual needs of people that are even right here in our church, then we are not acting like Christ. If the only time we spend is with the righteous folks, the only time we go out to eat and the only time that you ask somebody to go out to eat on Sunday is the very people that you go out to eat with every time and you never ask somebody else that you may not know. How is that like Christ? How do you don't know some person's name on this side of the church, but you know everybody that you sit around with? We have meet and greet time here. I'm telling you, because the Spirit of Christ, he didn't hang with the church folk all the time. People, he hung out with the people who needed him the most. And I'm asking you, who needs you the most today? What in this holiday season we're going into, who needs you the most? And where can you be the most effective? Because if you're going to sit here or stand here as I'm doing and call yourself a Christian, Christ in, meaning that you are a follower of Christ and that you're acting like Christ, then by George, let's act like it. How about it? Let's act like that. And let's go out here and do some things, because the only way that we have changed the world is that there have been Christians. I want you to think about Mother Teresa. Everybody almost should know, bless her heart, she has passed on, but you know Mother Teresa, who devoted her entire life to those people in Calcutta, gave up everything, ministering to the lepers and different ones who were there. Is acting like Christ, I'm going to pose to you this question, it doesn't have to be answered audibly, I just want you to answer it in your own self. Is acting like Christ just punching the time clock on church Sunday mornings? Is acting like Christ making sure that we focus on the programs of the church, or we focus on making sure that we're having our parties and our fun and funneling our resources to that? Is your time and your money, you know, best spent funneling your time and your resources to things that make you feel good? Or are we supposed to be about the Father's business? And that's what you need to ask, and you need to find out what that is. Because I'm going to tell you here, I want to be charged like Jesus was charged. And I can't say that I would necessarily be done that way. If somebody was going to pick at you about something, was going to bring a charge against you, would they be able to bring a charge against you that your main problem is that you are too merciful and too gracious? The main problem is that you're not religious enough, that you're not being holy enough. I mean, I want you to think about that. That was their main deal as he was out here operating. And that's what their biggest problem was, outside of the fact they said he was blasphemy. He was committing blasphemy. Now, what does the world charge you with? Is the question. Following Christ way too much? Being too good? Working too hard for Jesus? I'm not talking about working too hard for this church. I'm talking about working hard for Jesus. Is that what they're charging you with? Because that's what they charged him with. And if you want to truly be a follower, I'll take that all day long. I've said before, when I'm in the workplace and I'm out there in the secular world and somebody says, you know what, you're fired because you've been talking about Jesus here. Hey, see ya. I walk out of there waving that pink slip like ain't nobody's business, just waving it around. This is not a tout on me, because I don't spend near enough of time like I should. But when I'm at Capital City Bank, I can guarantee you this. You can pull the cameras. I hope they don't really listen to it, because I will have to be waving a pink slip, because I get paid a whole lot more money to minister than I am really doing Capital City Bank work. It's just how it is. When somebody sits there and they say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or there's an opportunity. I got to say something about it. I've got to do something. I just can't sit there. And if somebody comes in and they want to cut my paycheck by half because I've been spending it doing, you know, stuff on the church, and somebody called me the other day, I think it was Miss Ann, and I said, oh, I'm right in the middle of doing church things here and at work. But wherever we are, we need to be living for Jesus. And I want you to know something when you go to leave here. That is almost every instance not comfortable. It's not in your comfort zone. If you are only operating in your comfort zone, you're not doing it right. You are not doing it right. Because Jesus, sitting there, the holiest human being to ever walk this earth, and he is sitting in the middle of a party with some of the most wretched people in all Jerusalem. Do you think he was in his comfort zone? Not when it come to his holiness, he was not. But he was there because he loved them so much. So in this time where we know there are people that are hungry, we know there are children all over this world that need somebody, we know there are people inside of our church and in this city and your neighbors, let's do something for people. Let's get off of our blessed assurance, and let's get out here and act like Jesus Christ and do something to change the world. How about it? Do something for him. He's already done so much for us. I think we owe him a whole lot to change the world. One act of kindness and love and grace and mercy as he did at a time. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you today